We're continuing our series this morning, Living on Purpose. This is our third week. In the first week, we talked about how God has created us each uniquely. He's created us according to His workmanship, and He's invested in us. We are His workmanship, and He wants us to succeed. He wants us to find our purpose in Him. Last week, we talked about values. What we value and what we prioritize in our life is what we aim for, is what we work for. And what God has given to us as values are very important. Today, we're talking about our own unique gifts, abilities, talents, and who God made us to be. So I have a question for you, but before I get there, I'd like you to look at your worship folder, and if you'd like to follow along, you can fill in the blanks. They'll be up on the screen as we go through. You can also go through your Bible as well as we talk about some scripture. But first of all, I have a question for you. Have you ever asked yourself, who am I? Have you ever said that? No? I mean, other than your name, I mean, of course, we all know our name, we know where we come from, but have you ever had those introspective moments where you go, who really am I? Who is Joel Beyer? I know what other people have said about me, and yet I know what I know about myself. And it seems like as you go through life, there's different stages that when you get to the next stage, you kind of have to take a step back and say, okay, who am I now? You think of teenagers, you know, in school, trying to make an image for themselves. They try all different sorts of hairstyles and makeup and try different activities just to discover what kind of person, unique, adult, almost individual that they are. Then you get to, you know, the millions of students who go off to college and leave mom and dad behind and start to wonder, okay, who am I now apart from my family? I'm a responsible individual. Maybe not yet, but I'm getting there. Then you get to more of a young adult age and maybe start looking towards marriage, and you get together with someone and you start to wonder, okay, who am I now with a spouse? Does that change who I am on the inside? Become a parent. It's another big life change. Who am I as a parent? You have to take a step back and really look at yourself. Then you get to maybe the point where you're an empty nester and start having a midlife crisis, and you start wondering, okay, now who am I without kids? And then in retirement, what do I do now with my time? What's my purpose? How can I still give? This past week, my wife Kristen and I have been studying personality types. It's been really interesting, and if you haven't ever taken a personality test, it really can either tell you what you want to hear, or it will tell you what you don't want to hear about yourself. But it's interesting nonetheless, and what we found out in our personality types is that we're really opposite. And you'll find that most couples are opposite when they come together and they realize, oh, we don't think the same about the world at all. But the one thing that we do have in common is that we're both extroverted, and so this little website that we found says if only we have enough fun together, everything will be just fine. So Kristen and I stay very busy doing a lot of fun things. But we have to ask ourselves, who am I, and who am I in relation to the people that God has placed in my life? And as believers in Christ, given the gift of faith, we know that God has made us unique for a purpose. He's given us different gifts and abilities and talents that He wants us to use for His glory, and He places opportunities in front of us. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that God has good works that He's placed in front of us, that we are His workmanship, and that He has made things for us to do and to be in this life. So today, as we know what psychologists have said about who we are, we know what society has said about who we are, we know what our friends and neighbors have said about who we are, but today we're going to look at what God says about who we are. The first thing that we're going to talk about today is that God planned us before we were born. And I love this passage from Psalm 139, that God, You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit them together in my mother's womb. Your workmanship is marvelous. You were there when I was being formed. You saw me before I was born. You scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Isn't that just incredible? I mean, that before we even came out of our mother's body, God knew us intimately. He knew who we were going to be. He knew the things that we were going to do in life. He knew even when we were going to die. You were not an accident, okay? Your parents may have told you you were, but you were not. OK? okay? Even if you were an accident to your parents, you were not an accident to God. God knew you before you were born. He has a plan for you. That's why, especially in the Lutheran Church, we believe that abortion is so wrong. Because even the baby is not a baby just when it comes out. The baby is a human being created by God for his purposes, to know him, to be loved by him. And abortion just cuts that completely off. We are made in the image of God. We've been given a mind. We've been given a will. We've been given emotions, some of us more than others. We are God's workmanship. If you look at the human body, it's fascinating how intricate we are, how so fine-tuned we are to being masters of this world. It's said that our brains can store over 100 trillion facts. Okay, sometimes I don't think I can remember that many facts. But simple things our brains can store has the capacity to do that. We can make 15,000 decisions per second. That's how many decisions are firing in your brain. Your nose can smell up to 10,000 different odors. Okay, my wife says that I produce some of the most foul-smelling ones of odors. Our touch, our sense of touch is so strong that the human touch can feel and sense an object that is 1/25,000th of an inch. Our taste, it's incredible. The human tongue can taste one part quinine, which is a form of a pain reliever type that was used in the past, very bitter, in 2 million parts of water. Our sense of taste is very incredible. When you think back in 1969, that we sent a man to the moon, right? Gravity wasn't there, oxygen wasn't there, but the human mind and engineering capability had the ability to send someone to the moon. I read something earlier that the computers that they used during that time were not very good, right? They were, in fact, the smartphone that I have right here has over 100 times the computing power that the computers that NASA used. And they say that, well, NASA sent somebody to the moon. They launched a man to the moon. Well, we use our smartphones to launch birds into pigs. Okay? It's kind of crazy. What if we used our phones to a great ability, you know? But God has made us so amazing. Our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our will. He planned that all before we were born, and we're all unique. Our purpose is revealed by our shape. And if you want to fill these in, our shape is an acronym for different ways that God has blessed us. The first is he has given us all spiritual gifts. And these gifts are outlined in the New Testament. Some people are great at evangelism. They can just take any conversation and bring it to God. They can start asking you about your faith. They can start explaining to you the more intricate parts of who God is and who his son is. Some people are great at hospitality. It's a spiritual gift that was given to them by the Spirit to just want to accept people into their home and bring people in, care for them. Some people, it's helping. They just want to serve. They just want to give. When I think of helping, I think of Scott back there in the back who's running the slides. He wants to just help in any way that he can. It's a spiritual gift that he's been given that sometimes I know that I don't have at all. So we've all been given spiritual gifts, and there's ways that you can find what yours is as well. There's tests, there's inventories. In fact, we have a class at our church in Escondido that Donna teaches, and she's going to be coming over here to find out what your spiritual gift is, and when you know that, you can use it. The second part of our shape is our heart. What are you interested in? What are you passionate about? There are things in this world that some people care so much for that they'd give everything for, and other people just say, who cares about that? I hate to keep bringing my wife up, but she's gone, so I'm going to bring her up again. She loves to plan parties, okay? That's what she's passionate about. She loves to get people together. And in fact, last week we were both sick with the flu and could barely get out of bed, but she didn't want to waste any time, so she got on her computer and planned out Jonah's whole first year birthday party. To the very minute detail. She loves planning parties and getting people together. It's what she's passionate about. It's what she can use to bring people together. Third thing is abilities. What are you uniquely able to do that maybe other people aren't? Some people are great with math, numbers, accounting, budgets, all that stuff. That's not me. But some people are. Some people are very creative. They can come up and dream and theorize and see something in the future. Some people are very musical. Some people have great people skills. No matter who they meet on the street, they can just talk to. We've all been given different abilities to use for God's glory. The P is personality, as I was talking about before. It's amazing when you start studying personalities to see just how differently people think and see their world around them. How you can look at someone and say, wow, I really don't know what kind of person they are, but I don't get it. Well, it's because they have a different personality than you. When you know your personality, you know your strengths. If you've ever worked in an office or you've ever worked on a team with somebody, you know that people have different personalities and sometimes they don't always click together. And you've got to learn about your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers' personalities in order to know how to interact with them. I know that my personality is a very sensing personality. I'm all about the details. If somebody gives me a project or a task, I don't care what the big picture is. I want to know how it's going to get done. Whereas my brother-in-law, on the other hand, is very just theorizing, and he spends his life kind of traveling around the world doing different things. How can he help humanity in general? And I'm like, just nail down what you want to do and do it. He's got a different personality than me, but that's okay. And finally, the last part of our shape is our experiences. We've all been born into a different situation. God has placed us in different families, in different parts of the world. We've had different experiences in our work, in our education, in our spiritual life, and some of them, yes, can even be painful. And while we know that God doesn't ever cause pain and evil to happen to our circumstances, he can definitely use those experiences to create perseverance, character, hope. And in knowing that, in knowing where we've come from, we can see where God's purpose is for us in the future. And that's number three, that God's will for our future is found in our past. Like I said, what we were born into really makes an impact on what we do in the future. For me, both of my grandparents, my grandfathers were all pastors. My dad was a pastor. I knew what it took to be a pastor. I knew the pros and the cons and the family life of a pastor. And I thought, you know, I can do that too. I've been gifted in much of the same way that my parents and grandparents were as well. Sometimes God does have special plans for families. How many of you do the same thing that your parents do or did? There's teachers, there's Pastor Harms in the back. You get an experience from your parents, and that shapes who you are for the future. When you look at David and Solomon, David, who was the king, and Solomon, his son, he was preparing Solomon to take over, to be king, to build the temple, to do the things that David could not. And so for this week, as you look to your past, I want to give you a little bit of homework. Look to each stage of your life that you've lived so far and see all the things that were connected. What things did you like throughout all your stages? What things were different? Look at those things and say, okay, based on my past experiences, what is God leading me to do for his glory? We can learn more about our shape by experimenting. In Proverbs 19:8, the writer says, do yourself a favor, learn all you can. Some translation says, experience all you can. Then remember what you learn, and you will prosper. We don't know what God's purpose is for us if we just sit at home, if we just do nothing, if we don't even attempt to learn about who we are and who we are in conjunction with other people. It takes experimenting a little bit. I'll never forget, we were about a couple weeks from starting this new campus, and we had a bass player lined up, and he decided he needed to go to school, and it would take up a lot of his Sundays. And so Michelle said, you know what? I haven't really played an instrument before, but I'm going to go buy a bass guitar, and I'm going to be the bass player for this campus. And she's done a wonderful, she's been here every single Sunday playing the bass. She experimented with music, with an instrument to play for God's glory, and she's done a wonderful job. But it takes a little bit of experimenting to find out what who you are. Here at Community Lutheran Church, there's a place for your personality, for your shape, for your gifts, for your abilities. Be thinking about how God has blessed you, has given you ability, and talk to me about it. Let me know. Maybe there's a place where you can serve, or you can lead, or you can build God's kingdom here. Just the other day, I was talking with Scott and Carrie in the back, and they said, you know what? We'd like to host a Bible study at our house. Haven't done it before, but I think it'd be a good opportunity. We'd like to experiment doing it, and we're going to get that started here pretty soon. Experiment. Think about what are some ways that I can serve in a way maybe that I haven't before. And once you do find your purpose and who you are, the results of living on purpose are energy, confidence, and satisfaction. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, it is God who is at work within you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. When you are doing God's purpose, when you know who you are and you are acting in accordance with that, you feel energized. You're given confidence as you carry out those tasks. In fact, the word confidence comes from the Latin confideo, meaning with faith. You can live out your life with faith when you know what God's plan for you is. I'll never forget when our pastor's wife over at the Escondido campus, Christine, retired from teaching. It was her lifelong gift was to teach and interact with fourth grade students, and she loved it, but she realized it was time to retire. And yet she didn't just stop there when she retired. She knew that she had this gift of relaying experiences with other people and bringing them into those experiences as well, and so she decided to start blogging. And she created this blog called Restoring the Joy and sends it out once a week to everybody. And that's her God-given purpose to do that. And she blesses many people through that. She found out who she was and what her abilities and gifts were, and she carried it out. When you find out what God has meant for you, you get a feeling of freedom, of satisfaction, and of joy. Pray about it. Ask God what it is. Talk to other people. Ask other people what am I gifted at? Who do you see me as being? Another important one is that comparing and conforming are barriers to your purpose. Have you ever taken an inventory type test, a personality test maybe? Have you ever taken one of those before to find out who you are? Whenever I take those kind of tests, I have a really hard time because I'm always comparing myself to somebody else. Or I'm comparing myself to who I want to be instead of who I really am. And so the results don't always come out correct. We often tend to focus more on who we are not rather than who we are. And we say, I wish I was more like this family over here. I wish I was more like this other vicar in my program who is doing so many more things than I am and just seems to have it more together. If we're constantly dissatisfied with who we are and what we're doing, we're listening to the voice of the devil because God has placed us exactly where we need to be. He's given us exactly what we need to live out a life on purpose. God has made you to be you. So deal with it. Pray about it. Think about it. Learn about it and grow with it. It's amazing when you look at other people and they are so upset with who they are. They have curly hair and they want straight hair. They're tall and they want to be a little bit shorter. I'm short and I want to be a lot taller. There's so many things. Skin color. People who have darker skin color in Asia, and they want to have light skin. And so they wear umbrellas in the sun so they don't get any darker. And of course, people who are white go out to the beach and tan so they can get darker. We want to be different than who we are. And the trap of that is when we compare ourselves to other people, we're never satisfied with ourselves. And God wants us to be satisfied with who he has made us to be. The other trap is conforming. God has a plan for our life, but so do other people. And sometimes they're not always right. When you look back in history, we see that Martin Luther, his dad wanted him to be a lawyer. He said, you have to be a lawyer, but God had other plans. He had him become a monk so that he could reform the Catholic Church. Beethoven's teacher told him that he was hopeless as a composer. Einstein's math teacher flunked him. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper because his boss and editor told him that he had no creativity. Listen to God. Listen to his word. Find out about yourself and be who he made you to be. And finally, you are who you are supposed to be in Christ Jesus. When we ask that question of ourselves, who am I? Sometimes it can get a little frustrating because the answer doesn't seem to be right in front of us. And we can kind of go through stages in our life when we really don't know who we are or where we're supposed to go. But God doesn't want us to feel that way. He wants us to know that as his beloved children, in his family, because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we are exactly who he wants us to be. When I think of my son, Jonah, who is now 10 months old, I think, you know, I don't know how he's going to turn out. I know right now he's very feisty, and I hope that's not the case always. He may not be a great leader. He may not be exactly who I want him to be as he continues to grow, but one thing I do know, I will always love him. I will always care about him, no matter what kind of trouble he gets into, no matter what kind of person he becomes. I'm always going to be there for him and show him that I love him because he's my child. And I would give anything for him. I would give up anything for him. And that's how our Father in heaven sees us too. He loves us so much that he sent his own son Jesus to die for us. He loves us so much that he went through great cost so that we could be his children. And when he sees us, he says, I want you to know how much I love you, that I've created you unique, that I've given you special abilities, and that you are special because of what I have done for you. And so as you continue to ask this question of yourself, this week, this month, this year, who am I? Who has God made me to be? What can I do with the gifts that God has given to me? Remember just how much he loves you, that he died for your sins, that he rose for you, and that you have a unique purpose in him. Amen.